This is episode number 156.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. No matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just thinking about getting out there someday, maybe it's a distant dream that you have. Well, this is for you, because in this podcast, we talk about being out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and, of course, using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So we welcome you, and we're very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, in this week's episode, we catch up with our friend Camp Skunk, who shipped his RV to Europe and has been touring as many different countries as possible over the past several months. We're going to interview him today. We caught up with him. Actually, we did a video interview with the Camp Skunk, and I'm pretty excited about putting the audio portion here on the podcast. He's going to tell us what RVing is like over there in Europe, what the differences that he's encountering, and the surprises, both the good and the bad. And I think you'll find this a really interesting interview. And if you want to see a video version of it, we'll also post that on our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel. Plus, we have a lot of listener RV questions to answer this week. We've got RV news, RV tips, and a great RV off the beaten path report. All of that coming up here in episode 156 of the RV Podcast. But first, my lifelong travel companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
We are coming to everybody from Michigan today, from our Sticks and Bricks home there. Kind of nice to be back.
It is. It feels wonderful to be back home.
I think so. Yeah, I think we're really doing all right.
But it's hard. I'm sitting here in the studio looking up at a map of the states, and I'm longing to go see Lake Superior. I'm just looking at the country, thinking all the places that I'd like to go see.
I think you're really enjoying the beauty of fall. It feels like fall down here.
It is fall.
It does. It really feels like it.
I take it back. It's not fall officially yet.
Not officially, but there's a crispness to the air that's pretty neat.
And getting down to the 40s tonight.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. What was that heat index? We were just in
Georgia, and the heat index was 103.
103.
You can sit outside in that kind of weather. I can't.
For a little bit.
I melt.
Yeah, I do. I did enjoy that weather. Hey, first off, we got a new way to hear the podcast we want to tell everybody about, and especially for those of you who have the Amazon Echo or the Alexa system in the house. You know those things, that's the thing where you have a little box in the house, you can say, play me this song, or what's the weather like today? I want to get one of those.
We need one.
I need one. I think I am going to get one of those. I want to put one in the RV, actually. I think it would work well in there as well. But anyway, now you can say, play the RV podcast, because besides iTunes and the Google Play Store and Stitcher and all those other streaming services, the RV podcast is now available through TuneIn. That is the name of the service used by Amazon Echo and Alexa and a bunch of other devices. You can just tell your device to play the RV podcast, and it'll start doing so. Woo-hoo. With the most recent episode. So there you go. We're excited about that. And we'll put a direct link to TuneIn on the show notes for this episode, so you can go there. And TuneIn also has an app that you can download to your smartphone. You know, like the Apple podcast app. So you can get that app, and then you can listen anywhere. And TuneIn is what it's called. So the show notes, by the way, for this episode can be found at roadtrekking.com/156. Boy, everybody's keeping an anxious eye on that Hurricane Irma. Man.
Well, hopefully it won't be anything at all.
Yeah, hopefully. We're looking at the projected maps now, and it's still several days out, and it seems to be taking a direct bead on Florida sometime over the coming weekend. That's pretty scary. This episode is being released on September 6th, 2017. So it's still a future. It's future to us. I know many of you will be listening to this long after the hurricane has come and gone. But we, I guess I just want to, I want to just basically underscore to everybody the importance of paying attention to those warnings. I mean, they're not something to take for granted.
No, you should always have a supply of water and batteries and some backup food, and you have to be aware.
Yeah.
Keep your tank. I never let my tank go really empty. You like to see how empty it can get, but I don't like having...
Yeah.
I really have trouble, like I like a lot of gas in the tank.
You like, well, you know, that's just really smart. I mean, it is. And a lot of people, particularly those with RVs, this is a great reason for you to always have some water, fresh water in your RV, and keep all, you know, some food, and particularly if you're down in that hurricane path, because that's a good way for you to get out of town and have your stuff with him. But anyway, lots of prayers for the folks down there, and hope this thing misses them completely, but one never knows, you know, and that's the scary part. We're home for just about a week. It makes it sound like we're here for a long time. We're actually on the road again next week, heading to Cambridge, Ontario, Canada.
I've almost got the house clean.
Almost got the house clean. Yeah, you got home Saturday.
I vacuumed up dog hair yesterday. That was my big project. Haven't cleaned the floors yet, though.
Our dog Bo is ready to go. He's always ready to go. And we'll be hitting the road next week. We'll be doing lots of stuff. We did a Facebook Live the other night that was a lot of fun with everybody. We've finally got some really great software that makes it easy to do Facebook Live and then put that on YouTube. And we'll be doing one next Wednesday, the same day that the next podcast comes out, but we'll be doing a Facebook Live report from Cambridge, Ontario, where the Erwin Heimer group of North America is opening a brand new factory. We got kind of a sneak preview of that a couple of months ago, but now it's grand opening time next week.
So we need to go see.
We need to go see, and we'll show everybody as well and talk to everybody and get an idea what's happening there in the booming Class B and the towables market. So that's all good. All right, a couple other things. The RV show season has begun. A big one this weekend in St. Louis. You'll hear about that later on from our friends at Van City RV in St. Louis. They will be there. And of course, the Hershey, American's biggest RV show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, is the end of next week, and that's coming up, and we'll be having some information and some of the stuff, the highlights about that. We'll try and talk about some of those things that we know are coming up on next week's podcast, so we've got lots of stuff. Meantime, this part of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Campers Inn, the RVer's trusted resource for over 50 years, and the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership with 16 locations across the United States and growing every day. The thing about Campers Inn that I want to stress is their integrity pricing guarantee. This is kind of sets a standard for the industry. You won't find this at many RV dealers, but their integrity pricing guarantee means that every quote for a new RV includes everything: freight, orientation, detailing, prep. You will never be surprised by hidden upcharges and fees like some dealers do. And Campers Inn sells motorhomes, travel trailers, and more from the leading manufacturers in the industry. Top brands like Tiffin, Grand Design, Coachman, Thor, Forest River. Campers Inn exclusives like the Gulfstream Friendship and the Cruiser Embrace. Award-winning RV sales and service. Hundreds of RVs at the best prices. And, of course, certified, trained service personnel. Campers Inn, the RVer's trusted resource for over 50 years.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
One of the things RVers need to conserve is the water they use. About the only time you don't have to be concerned about water usage is when hooked up to city water and sewer in a big campground. But when boondocking or traveling, especially in a Class B or C motorhome, you can only carry so much in your fresh water tanks. And those gray water tanks are also limited in how much dish or shower water. So how do you conserve? There are lots of ideas. We've talked about many of them here in the podcast over the years, but this week, a listener named Bill called in with a way to really cut back on the water usage when washing dishes.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. I can't tell you how much my wife and I enjoy your show. After years of 3 and 4 day trips, we were finally out in our road truck the entire summer this year and used many of the tricks we learned on your show. One of those tricks was the water heater temperature gauge water saving tip. No water wasted dialing in the proper temperature. Our temperature is 105. My wife and I have another water saving tip we learned on the road this summer. The other big user of fresh water when boondocking is dishwashing. My method used to be fill up the sink and immerse the dishes, then more water for a rinse. My wife's method was to wash them one by one under a stream of water. Both methods used a lot of water. A full-time couple, also in a road trek we met at El Morro National Monument early this summer, shared their trick for dishwashing with us. Cleaning vinegar. We put the cleaning vinegar in a spray bottle, mix 50-50 with water. After meals, wipe all the dirty dishes down with a paper towel and spray them with the solution and let them soak for a few minutes. Repeat until they're clean, no rinsing required. Not a drop of water is used to clean the dishes, and it doesn't take much more time than using water. The acid and the vinegar cleans and sanitizes. Even greasy messes will come clean with it. You can find cleaning vinegar at most any Walmart or Walmart-type store. The half gallon of the cleaning vinegar lasted us our entire summer outing. We did make quite a few stops for paper towels, though. Thanks again for all your help this summer. Appreciate your show.
Thanks, Bill. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Cleaning vinegar? I didn't know there was such a thing.
I know there's cleaning vinegar, but I never would have thought to wash my dishes with it.
Wouldn't it make your dishes and then the food you serve on them taste like vinegar?
There's worse things than vinegar.
Well, not
vinegar,
much.
You can use vinegar for everything. I mean, vinegar, there's a million uses for vinegar. Uh-huh. And I got to say, I've never thought about washing my dishes with vinegar and water.
I don't know.
Did he didn't say, is it 50-50?
Yeah, 50-50. 50-50, he says he puts it in a spray bottle. And I guess you do it a couple, three times, but I don't know. I don't like the taste of vinegar.
I use 50-50 to clean my windows in Florida.
Vinegar and water? Is that cleaning vinegar you use?
Cleaning vinegar and water to wash the windows. The salt gets on the windows and it's hard to get them clean.
In our place in Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you never know. Thank you, Bill, for sending that tip in for Jennifer. I guess maybe we'll come visit you sometime on the road and we'll have to see how it works.
I bet you it's squeaky clean. I bet it sparkles.
I bet it does. All right. Let me know if you're going to try that one on me.
Yeah. Too bad you can't use apple cider vinegar. Everybody needs apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for indigestion and heartburn and stuff. I know that. Uh-huh. All right. Hey, Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. And now with free shipping and a special discount for our listeners at this podcast. Now, Rad Power Bikes, you have probably seen them. I am sure that if you did some camping this summer, there was somebody at one of your campgrounds that was using them. These things are really popular. First, the quality. They're built with quality. But they have a whole series of different e-bike models that fit just about every variety of rider wants and needs you could possibly imagine. All models reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And they also give you the choice to ride pedal free. You can then use the throttle to assist. There's 5 different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you combine just straight pedaling and then the pedal assist. I tell you, these e-bikes are perfect if you want to get back into bike riding. Maybe recovering from surgery or injury, or you're just kind of looking for that extra boost to keep up with friends and family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge on your Rad Power Bike. They're priced at often less than half the price of comparable e-bikes on the market because the dealer retail markups are cut out. You deal directly with Rad Power Bikes. And that's why when you buy, if you mention Road Trekking at checkout, they will take right off the bat an additional $75 off your purchase price. Plus, you get free shipping on all of their bike models. Visit them online, see what you think. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Good morning, Mike and Jennifer. This is John Swain in Des Moines, Iowa. And I just want to let you know, I've started a wonderful new life in RVing and I love it. and your webcasts are something podcasts, I look forward to them every week, and I feel like you're part of my family now. So thank you very much for what you do.
Wow. Thank you, John. What a nice message.
That's so nice. It's so encouraging.
It is. You know, people, they'll complain at the drop of the hat, but very rarely do we get nice calls like that. John, that meant a great deal to us. And
we have a friend in Iowa.
And you know, it is like a family. It really is. And that's the thing about, we did this Facebook Live thing the other day about, you know, how much is an RV really worth to you? And somebody had put a comment, a kind of a snarky comment on our YouTube channel that he couldn't believe people would spend all this money for, quote, a depreciating asset. We talked about that last week. But anyway, we shared that with our community. And everybody, that was kind of one of the things we heard back and forth so many times, is how it changes your life. It gives you a whole new group of friends, and it just enriches your life so much. But I want to thank you, John, for sending that message to Jennifer and I. It encourages us greatly, doesn't it?
It does.
All right. Let's go now to some of your questions this week.
Hello. My name is Leanne Walker from Sacramento. Can you recommend an RV inspector for Class Bs down in Las Vegas area? We're going to be going down in a month or two and hoping to buy a used Road Track or Hymer. Thank you so much.
Well, that's a good idea to get, if you're buying a used RV, to have it inspected. And Leanne, there is an organization called the National RV Inspectors Association. It's kind of like home inspectors. It kind of came out the same. These are certified professional recreational vehicle inspectors, and they're across North America. When you go to their website, which is nrvia.org, I'll put a link on our show notes. When you go to their website, they have a little search box that you can enter that will let you find the nearest inspectors. Now, I didn't find any in Las Vegas. And when you can't find an NRVIA inspector, my suggestion is to use the services of a mobile RV repair company. Now, these mobile RV repair outfits are all across the country. All you have to do is do a Google search on RV inspection or RV repair and the name of the city, the nearest city that you are at. I just ran one through for Las Vegas for you, and I found a whole bunch of them. But if you can't find a mobile RV or RV service provider, these are guys, and you know, they usually have their own truck or their own van, and they go out to RV parks. They'll go to you and service it, but they'll also do inspections. I would also recommend that you find an RV dealer, because their service people know what to look for, and they'll help you out. And in Las Vegas, we happen to know Wagon Wheel RV. We recommend them highly. They're sponsors of our show, have been for many years. And we think a great deal of them. They're great folks out there, and I'm sure they can help you out as well. So we'll put a link to the RV Inspectors Association on the show notes, which you'll find at roadtrekking.com/156. Boy, we've used them a couple of times. We've used RV service. I've been very impressed with them.
We've not had a bad experience.
No, and they're really smart. They know. They usually have all the parts that you need. I've seen them climbing up on roofs fixing air conditioners, and I've seen them crawling underneath to fix some of the plumbing. And these guys, nothing surprises them, and they come to you. That's the really nice part. Whenever you're on the road, people always say, what happens if something breaks down? Well, one, you'll find a dealer. Sometimes, though, those dealers have grand backlogs. I mean, huge backlogs, particularly in prime time. So I always say, go to one of the mobile RV services around, because those guys, that's what they do. And you should be able to get them there within a day, and you don't even have to leave. They'll come to you, and that's a good deal. So try them out. There's a whole bunch of them. All right, here's another call.
Hi, I was and have been looking for an RV cover in the cold weather. It just, so much cold escapes. So that would be my question for today. All right, thank you.
All right. I don't know what she means by cold escaping, but I guess she wants to cover up her RV.
I don't think, it must, when she's in it, she doesn't want it covered.
Yeah, you don't want the cold. You don't want the cold coming in, or you don't want to keep the cold inside of it when you're in it. But I think you're talking about kind of protecting it from
storing
the elements,
it for winter.
Storing it. It's that time. People are starting to think about it. Well, there's only one operation that I recommend for it, and we have been dealing with these guys for many years, and just have heard such great things about it. It's called Hugger Covers. Huggercovers.com, all one word. I'll put a link on the show notes. They are the only cover that I know Road Trek Motorhomes recommends. They make covers for Class B road treks, for pleasure ways, for Travatos, for leisure travel vans. There's probably no RV out there they cannot make a cover for. These are just terrific covers, and it's a quality operation. Every cover is custom made for your RV. They'll call you, they'll go over all of the details with it, and the cover will last, of course, many, many years. You can buy real cheap covers that people say fit every RV, and they're worth what you pay, which isn't very much. But if you want a good quality cover, go to these guys, huggercovers.com. They're in Canada, near London, Ontario, I know. And just let them know that you heard about them through us, and I think they'll throw in even a special gift for you. So huggercovers.com, that's who we recommend. You can tell it's wintertime coming. I think that's about the third, request. Two of them were by email about people wanting to know where to get a cover.
Well, it is a good idea.
Yeah, it really is. You get a lot of, if you're in a snowy area, it's nice to have.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about mice pretty soon.
You know, I've got a question that I was going to get to this week, but somebody just asked me about that, and I've been just finished up the research on it. We'll run that next week.
Okay.
About mice. But yeah, a lot, they're starting to move, you know. And people are getting mice in their RVs,
and mice come in your house,
and they will come
in
your house.
Away, yeah, make sure you protect your house.
Yeah, mice—they're little scavengers, those little guys. All right, one more call, and Jennifer doesn't know this call's coming. I'm going to be anxious to hear what she has to say after she hears this.
Hi, Mike. John calling from Hawaii. I'm interested in what happened to your Bike Friday bicycles. You showed them in your new storage container. But I haven't heard you talk about them or seen you talk about them. Wondering what happened to them. Looking forward to your answer.
Well,
we got a dog.
We got a dog.
And when you have a dog and you're traveling, the two of you cannot go off and leave dog alone.
Yeah.
Dogs kind of curtail bike riding.
Dogs, I mean, we love our dog. Everybody knows that. But dogs, when you travel in an RV with a dog, it comes at a cost. And there are things you can't do. And one of the things that's very hard to do is to take nice long bike rides together. And that's why we bought them. We bought these Bike Fridays. Let's describe them first of all. They're really nice bikes. They're made in the US. They're folding bikes. So you can fold two of them up. They're easy to store, easy to take. They are amazingly fun to ride. Great gearing. You're a little lower to the ground, so you feel a little more stable. You liked riding them.
I like it because I get stiff, and it's easy to get on and off.
Yep,
and versus a traditional bike.
Now we,
but
just,
you do feel a little like a clown.
You do, yeah. They're real small. It takes you a minute to get used to them because they're smaller. And so we bought them. This was one of my impulse buys at an RV rally that we were attending out in Oregon several years ago. And I had a stowaway storage container at that time, which I've since gotten rid of. And the bikes fit beautifully in the back of it. Now, I should point out, we just picked up a new storage cabinet for our RV. And I'll talk about that more and put a video up and a blog post on that and show you what it's like. And so we're probably going to start packing our Bike Fridays with us as we travel again.
You're going to have us in a Class A before I die. I can tell that.
No. We got room.
We're just going to have all these little
add-ons. And I got room for my...
Like a train.
And I'll have room for whatever kayak I get. I'm going to get either a breakaway kayak or a inflatable. But anyway, John, they're great bikes. But the problem for us was when we got Bo... It wasn't our idea. Remember, we had Ty, who was with us for many years, and Ty died. He had came up with a growth on his aorta, and it was rather sudden. It was
very sad.
We missed him greatly. 6 months went by. We were doing okay, and we were saying, wow, we're free. We can do all these things, like get bikes and go for bike rides again together. And then on our birthdays, our birthdays are only a couple days apart in February, Our grown children came in and surprised us with this puppy, Norwegian Elkhound puppy, about the cutest puppies you'll ever see. Nobody could resist them. That was Bo, and we've had Bo. And, you know, I mean, you have to be thinking about the dog all the time when you're on the road. You can't leave him alone. If you do, it's briefly. You can't, when you go to a national park, there's very few places that you can take your dog. When you go to most beaches, you can't take your dog. Most beaches in Florida are not dog friendly. So, you know, they do curtail your travel. And one of the costs for us was we started leaving the bikes back because, you know, we like to ride together and do things together, and we couldn't. I think, you know, I mean, there is a cost to having a dog.
There is a cost.
And in our case, it was the Bike Fridays.
I used to look at Ty and say, how many more years? I'm going to miss the boy, but how many years before we're dog free?
Yeah, and we think about that with both. And I'll be honest, sometimes I've thought, well, you know, maybe there's not room in our life for this little guy. But then he comes up
and he's pretty cute.
Asks for some pets, and okay, he's got us wrapped around his paws again. So, John, that's what happened to our Bike Fridays. They're great bikes. I've debated selling them. They're not inexpensive bikes.
They're not as easy to put together as as one would think. Like when we watched the salesman do it, it was boom, boom, boom. It was together.
Yeah.
It depends on how much your mechanical skills you have to pop the little things back together.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm not going to go into my lack of skills, but they're a very nice bike. And I probably will revisit taking them with us a little bit in the next couple of months. But if you're looking at thinking of a folding bike like Bike Friday, I have nothing but good things to say about it. So that's how all of that works. Hey, we would love to have you be a part of our questions of the week every week. Here's how.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the rvpodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. If you're in the market for a Class B, you know they're in high demand. And that is why you will want to check in with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Three dealers that specialize in Class B RVs from all the major manufacturers. They have new and used models in stock on the lot right now, all ready to deal. Road treks, pleasure ways, leisure travel vans, Class B, B pluses, and other small motorhomes. So visit Van City RV, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. Here's Dan the Van Man from Van City RV in St. Louis.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, this week is our fall RV show, September 8th, 9th, and 10th at the St. Louis Premium Outlet Mall in Chesterfield. For more information on this, you can check it out at VanCityRV.com. We're going to have on display there all of our great units, even the new Corrado Axion by a division of Hymer. You can check that out at VanCityRV.com. Give us a call today, 1-800-467-3905.
All right, in this week's episode, we are going to use the interview of the week section to catch up with our friend Camp Skunk, who, if you read the roadtrekking.com blog all the time, you'll know he's been doing regular updates for us all summer long after shipping his RV to Europe. And he, his wife Sharon, and their cat Fiona have been touring as many European countries as possible. And in this interview, he's going to tell us what it's like out there. Now, this is the audio part. When I did this thing, we did a video phone interview. So I recorded video of this as well. And Camp Skunk, you can see where the campground he's in. If you want to see a video version of the interview, you'll find that posted. Just go to our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel. That's just rvlifestylechannel.com. rvlifestylechannel.com, and you can actually see a video version of this interview. I'll put a link in the show notes so you can get to it that way. But without any further ado, let's catch up in Europe with Camp Skunk.
Well, Camp Skunk joins us right now from, well, I think you're in Germany, are you not? Yes, I'm in Nuremberg, to be precise here. We just got here yesterday afternoon and are in a nice campground here. And we're ready to head on out and see some of the sights.
Well, you, I see your RV right behind you, and it's looking nice and clean.
Yeah.
You've had quite the adventure. Why don't you start out by letting everybody know when you got there and where you have been, where you've been, and maybe some of your favorite places.
Well, we got here in April, late April. We put the camper van on the boat and waited 2 or 3 weeks and then flew over and retrieved it in Antwerp. And, of course, it was cold that far north. So we headed south down through France and went to the Mediterranean coast in the south of France and stayed there for a month or so, went down into Spain. And it started to get hot, so we went up and over across the Mediterranean coast into Italy, and it was still hot. So then we went up into Austria and got cooled off. And from there, we went all over the place. We went to Budapest. We went to Prague. We went briefly into Poland and went through a lot of Germany. We've been in Germany for the last month or so.
Now, the differences, maybe we'll start again. You've written on the blog, and we can send people to the blog, about the process of shipping your motorhome over to Europe. But have you seen many other people from the U.S. or Canada over there?
Not with an RV. I've run into a few people who are, you know, just got over here years and years ago and are wandering around, and they see my tags and come up and talk. But no, there are no other American RVers that I've run into over here. There are probably a few, but we are rare. Well, people are always surprised to see me.
You were actually featured on German national television, as I understand, right?
Well, I was in a campground that the film crew was prowling looking for interviewees, and yes, I did. I had my brief moment of fame there.
Well, they were amazed to see your Florida license plate. Talk about the differences between camping in Europe and camping in North America. What's the most significant differences on the plus side and then on the negative side?
Well, of course, the plus side, I've never seen any of this stuff except very briefly, you know, when I was a regular tourist. And the wonderful thing about having your own RV is you get to stay and see what places are like and explore them in depth. And you just have so much more time. We were on a whirlwind 2-week tour of France and a little bit of Italy about 10 years ago. And it's just so hectic. You have to keep moving, keep moving. Here we can sit and stay for days at a time. We've got 6 months over here. So the plus side is I get to talk to people. I get to meet people. I get to see what the countryside is really like. And I get a feel for the place. I don't know, the only minus sign is occasionally I have language difficulties, you know, but, you know, usually there's someone around that I can communicate with, but sometimes I have to look a little bit. Other than that, I really can't think of any. It's not that much more expensive. There is one negative that is I kind of miss the wide open spaces that I have out in the American West. Everything's very regulated here. You have to be in a campground. I found one place to boondock, and I was so happy, you know, just to sit there. We sat there for several nights.
That's what I was going to ask you.
And so it's nice to get out there. And
you, of course, are our resident boondocking expert. That is the only way you camp back in North America. So we've been very curious of boondocking opportunities in Europe. Do you think it's because of the nature of camping in Europe, or has boondocking just not caught on yet there?
It is supply and demand. If they let people boondock, they would overfill these places and wear them out and leave trash. It's probably the same reason you can't boondock in the eastern United States very easily. It's just that there are so many people in such a small space. And I think that's what's going on. The people I've talked to here said you can go up to Sweden and boondock, where they have a lot of land and very few people, sort of like the American West. So I think that's the main difference. It's just the population density.
Now, you are in a campground now, and move around. I think we're getting some video here, and we'll see if we can take a look at what it looks like.
Sure.
It looks very much wooded. looks nice. The video froze a bit, little bit, but we'll see. There we go.
There's a lot of towables here, and also some of these people recognize this chassis right here. It's the Dodge ProMaster is what we call it, but Fiat makes it here. And here's another one right over here. Yeah. So this should look familiar, except you'll notice on this one, the exhaust is coming out behind the driver's door. That's a big no-no in North America. But other than that, the campers are pretty much the same. You know, all my fancy solar and batteries and so forth is really going to waste here in Europe. I don't get to use it very much because, there's electricity all over the place and water and the dump and everything. So I'm really comfortable in my unit, and I'm enjoying staying here.
That's great. Now, you've been able to stay in some pretty interesting places right near central cities where you can do the touring. And, of course, I know you and Sharon have been seeing a lot, but talk about that, about the sightseeing opportunities you've had.
Yeah. They don't really call them campgrounds. They're sort of like glorified parking lots. And what they are is in these large cities like Vienna, Budapest, Prague, and so forth, there is a fairly high-density, minimal-service campground that is near a metro stop or a tram or a train. And so what you do is you park there, and then you walk a couple hundred meters, get on the metro, go downtown, do all the big city stuff that you want to, and then you can come right back out and spend the night in your camper. So it's a great way to visit these cities, and I have found campgrounds like that in most of these large cities. You can camp surprisingly close, a 30-minute or less subway ride to the center of town.
What is it like driving your Class B RV in Europe? How are those roads? What are the challenges or the joys of driving?
I do the same thing I do in the States. I stay away from the inner cities. They're a lot tighter here because, of course, they were built a lot longer ago before cars. Most of the drivers are fairly considerate and so forth, and I stay on the two-lane roads and just like I do in the States. It's really not that much more of a challenge. All the stuff is I'm driving on the right side of the road. I'm not going to Britain, and I get it done. It's there are traffic circles instead of traffic lights and a few other differences. But it's fairly easy to pick up, and you can drive safely, and just stay out of high-stress situations at first until you get used to it.
How has security been there? Has there been concern about crime or any of those issues?
No. They're really not. The campgrounds are very secure. They usually have a big fence, and if they're in the population area, and they have a gate that they keep closed all the time, except if you're camping there and you have the key. Or some of them have these fancy optical recognition systems for your license plate. Of course, I don't have a front license plate since I'm from Florida, so it doesn't work for me, but they just put the tag numbers in the system and it lets the right people in and out. It's a really, I haven't felt in any kind of danger of getting robbed or whatever since I've been here.
How about gasoline, electricity? I know you wrote on the blog, and we can send people there about some of the changes you need to make for current and power, but has that been consistent, electricity and hooking up and all that stuff?
They're, like I said, these are all campgrounds. There's electricity available. I just got a little trickle charger, so I can charge my battery regardless of the difference in voltage and not directly plugging my RV in to the shore power. I had a minimal amount of hassle here. The only thing I really had to do was convert my toilet into a porta-potty here because they don't really have black water dumping facilities in most of these areas. They're all cassettes.
And that's a trend we're seeing in the U.S. as well. Many people are going to cassette toilets there as well. What's been the reaction to other campers when they have looked at your Road Trek CS Adventurous? They've seen all the solar and all of the technology. I'm curious how European campers and RVers have reacted.
I'm pretty stealthy. Most of them don't recognize it for what it is. You know, they're a few people have said, "Wait a minute, there's something funny about that camper of yours," and I've told them about it. But what I do tell them that I camp out in open territory with no electricity and water and so forth, and that's what it's designed for. So they're kind of interested in that in an abstract way. They're never going to have a place they can use it, but they think it's kind of neat. But they like the way it looks and so forth. Now I'm up in Germany, there are a lot more Sprinter-based chassis, so I'm fitting in better.
Give us an idea of your plans for the next few weeks, and when are you heading back into the States, and what will that process be like as you pack up in Europe and say goodbye to your European RV vacation?
Well, it's, you know, this right here at the end of August, you can feel the weather starting to change up here. So we are going to head back down through France and probably into either Spain or Italy for September. In the half of October, we get to stay here. Right around the middle of October, we're going to make a run for Antwerp again, where we put the van on the boat and put it on the boat and fly home, and then wait 2 or 3 weeks for it to show up in Baltimore and then go retrieve it. So that's the general plan. We don't really make up specifics. We just do that as we go along.
Now, of course, I could not do an interview with Camp Skunk and not ask about how Fiona is faring. Fiona,
well,
the Fearless.
I hope you've been keeping an eye out behind me, because she may have absconded again here.
If
you saw her run off, let me know here.
It might be her way in the back of the van. Is that her back there on the back end of your van there? Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
She's hard to keep track of, because she likes to wander around and explore things and take herself for walks. But it's pretty much the same to her. I mean, we park and she wants to get out and go for a walk and sniff around and so forth. And she's been pretty much, she really doesn't pay much attention to where we are. She just expects me to take her for walks and feed her and water her and all that stuff. So it's about the same for Fiona.
Well, it has been really a joy to watch all of the updates that you've been doing on the Road Trekking RV Travel blog. And I know you've got more coming. And we are thinking about doing a Facebook Live some night. It'll be very early in the morning for you when we do it, but we'll try and do that in a couple of weeks as you get into good cell phone connection. And that way people can ask questions live as we do this, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Okay, I'll see if I can get connected and do that here.
Right.
Don't keep me up too late.
That's right. Well, Camp Skunk, you have been a delight. I look forward to all of your blogs. Thank you so much for making time this morning. Now, just to get a quick idea of a typical day before you go, you're in Germany. How are you going to spend the rest of this day?
Right now, we're a little low. We need to go get some bread and some other things at the store. So I just Googled a nearby grocery store. We'll drive over there, pick it up, come back to the campground, hang out. Ours are a walking around day. We're going to start out early and go and see the sights. And we are right by the old Nazi parade grounds. There's literally, this campground is right here next to that big stadium where Hitler did all the speeches and all the rallies and so forth. They had this big area of land and they turned some of it into an RV park. So I have stuff that I can walk to from here. We're going to do that tomorrow, and then we'll just figure it out from there. Depends on the weather and how bored we are.
Well, there you go. Well, Camp Skunk from Nuremberg, Germany, thanks for sharing your RV adventure with us.
Okay, Mike. No problem.
All right, and you can follow his updates. They're on the blog, on our roadtrekking.com blog, regular reports. He's been doing a couple a week, and he just had one in earlier this week on a Hymer Museum. Hymer, of course, is like the Winnebago line in North America. Hymer is that line in Europe, and they have an RV museum there that Camp Skunk went to and took some neat pictures of some of the older European RVs that are very interesting. So he's been sharing all that on the blog. You can find that. And like I said, just stay connected with our Facebook group, and we'll put a notice up when we're going to get him on live on Facebook, and we'll have video and take your questions, and that'll be fun. And we'll try and do that within the next couple of weeks. The interview of the week is brought to you. Oh, by the way, that interview with Camp Skunk, you can watch it on video. This was a video recording. And so you heard on the interview where he was showing us around the campground a little bit. And you can see that if you go to our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube, RVLifestyleChannel.com. We'll get you there, and you can see the Camp Skunk interview posted there as well. The interview of the week brought to you by our friends at SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used Road Trek motorhome is delivered to the customer free, to the customer's driveway, delivered anywhere in the country. Now, Sunshine State RVs are in Gainesville, Florida, sunny Gainesville, Florida, and there you will find the largest selection of Class B RVs in all of North America. If you're looking for a used Class B, you need to check these guys out. Either go there in person or go to the website, give them a call. They have more used RVs in the Class B type that you'll find anywhere. And they've got all the popular brands, Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. You will not find a wider selection anywhere. And they also are a new dealer for Road Trek. In other words, they sell new Road Treks as well, and they have them in stock. Every RV they sell goes through a 172-point inspection in which they ensure that all of the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. All the inside components are checked just as they check the outside. They turn them on. They make sure they work as they're supposed to. And all of their used RVs are thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. You check them out. SunshineStateRVs.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
All right, we're going to look at my home state of Michigan, where there's a bit of controversy over a veto that the Michigan governor, Rick Snyder, did that in this essence keeps this very unfair RV tax. Now, Michigan has been singled out as one of the a state that really has a very, very unfair tax on RVs. It's called the sales tax on the difference. And what happened is in the past, Michigan charged sales tax on the entire purchase price of a newly purchased car or recreation vehicle, even if that deal included a trade-in. And as such, Michigan was one of a handful of states that did that. And it just put the state dealerships at a disadvantage, many people thought. And it's just, it's an unfair tax. Well, the tax was phased out. There's a tax break that they're going to give that would make the tax just on the difference. And the legislature ran through kind of a speed up of that. They were going to make that come into effect more quickly to get rid of that tax. But the state governor, Rick Snyder, vetoed that. So the plans to accelerate the tax break on vehicle trade-ins was vetoed by the governor. And now legislative leaders in both the House and the Senate say they are going to try and see if they can overturn that veto, see if there's an interest in that. Again, it's called the sales tax on the difference, and it's just not good. Snyder did sign legislation to phase in that exemption for the value of a trade-in, but it was stretched out. The legislation he vetoed would accelerate that, and it said that it would strain the state's budget to get rid of that tax all at once. So anyway, it's going to be up in front of the legislature, and maybe the handful of other states that have it are watching this as well. The state legislature in Michigan goes back in session today, the day the podcast comes out on September 6th. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that and let you know. I mean, the tax is going to go away. He didn't say he was going to get rid of it. He just sped up the, he just vetoed something that would have accelerated that tax break. But it is, in my opinion, it certainly is an unfair tax. Hey, down to Elkhart, Indiana, known as the RV capital of the world. That's where they build most of the RVs that are sold on the road. Down there is a terrific place called the RV Hall of Fame. It's kind of a great museum. And they have some really ambitious plans to build a $10 million expansion to go through that. They want to build a park, an RV park and a pavilion so that RV groups could have big rallies there. They they want to include a 60,000 square foot addition with big walls and soundproofing so that you could have up to three or four meetings or activities there. It could all be in a big 20,000 square foot area. So these plans are out there, $10 million plan, actually. And how are they going to finance it? Well, they're going to try to go to the industry, I think, and they're trying to break it into phases. And the first phase is that rally site with the pavilion so that they can get some people in there. If you haven't been through it, it's well worth it. It's $10 for an adult, $8 for seniors. They had 20,000 paid attendees last year. And over the last few years, I should say, and they're hoping to get lots more attendance. It's a big tourism draw. You can check it out if you have not seen it. And I'm anxious to see it. I think that's a great idea to get that rally site there in Elkhart, Indiana. All right, one more story, and it is a big story. Again, fires continuing to rage throughout the West and the Northwest. Hikers and campers, RVers, hunters planning backcountry trips need to be very careful if you're going anywhere to the west and northwest. Today, the day this podcast came out, as I was getting this News of the Week research done, out in Seattle, ash was falling like snow as the wildfires in the state of Washington were sending these plumes of smoke into the atmosphere. NASA satellite images are showing smoke from these wildfires stretching across much of the U.S. now. Major fires in Oregon, Washington, British Columbia, Manitoba, Montana, Idaho. There's a site called INCIWeb, I-N-C-I Web. I'll put a link under the show notes under the News for the Week section. And it gives you an updated list of fire statuses. And that should be, by the way, part of any of your pre-trip planning. If you're going to the West or Northwest, that website, INCIWeb, you'll see that Montana, the whole state, is under a red flag warning. Glacier National Park had to close a huge area and literally evacuate hikers from the north end of Lake McDonald to Logan Pass. Lots of fires out there, so be very aware of that if you're planning to get out and to take a look around in the north or northwest. This portion of the podcast, News of the Week, always brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E. Aldi is the only name in heat that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. The Aldi system is a hydronic system, and that means it brings many features and many benefits that you simply can't find with any other product. It is a silent, radiant heat. It provides this warm, even, natural, heated interior. It's great for pets. That hydronic, silent, radiant heat, it's kind of like the high-end baseboard heat that you find in estate-type homes. It's a beautiful system for an RV. You don't have that irritating noise that comes from forced air. You don't have your sinuses and your mouth dry out from that dry air that's being forced out through air, you know, big air pressure coming out. It gives you interior space increases because it combines two systems in one, your hot water heater and your air heater. It's efficient. The whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC, and it will then extend the life of your propane about 40% over forced air. It's got lots of different options. The amenities that you can choose, like towel warmers or tank heating. The one that Jennifer and I have on our RV is floor heating. We just love that. On cold fall mornings or nights, you have that heated floors. It's so comfortable. All controlled by a modern programmable color touchscreen. Aldi, A-L-D-E. They're available now from a number of different RV manufacturers, like Newcamp, Airstream, Road Trek RVs, Aldi, A-L-D-E. It is the only name in heat that you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, I'm going to check in with our pal Steve Van Dinter from Verizon Wireless. You know, with the wildfires out west and with Hurricane Harvey a couple weeks ago in Texas, and now Hurricane Irma and another tropical depression coming from that, and bad weather seemingly everywhere, it's time to always be prepared. Here's Steve Van Dinter.
Hi there, Mike. September means the end of summer and a look ahead to the fall and winter months. It's also Preparedness Month, which is a great time to make sure your family's ready for what's ahead. With reliability at the top of its priorities, Verizon considers every month Preparedness Month. For instance, did you know that most of Verizon's cell sites have battery backup and generators to ensure your phone continues to work even when local commercial power is lost? That's one of the reasons it continues to be the primary network for first responders. Now you too can take steps to be prepared for any disaster. Store phones, tablets, batteries, chargers, and other equipment in a dry, accessible location. Ziploc storage bags will do the trick, or you can look into waterproof phones, cases, or other protective accessories. Keep your phone and tablets fully charged in case local power is lost. Have additional batteries and car chargers available for backup power. A nice variety, including solar-powered devices, make it easy to stay powered up. Maintain a list of emergency numbers, police and fire agencies, power and insurance companies, family, friends, and coworkers, and then program them into your phone in advance so you have them when needed. Use your phone or tablet to photograph and catalog your valuables and other household belongings for possible insurance claims. And for a wealth of additional tools and apps you can use to prepare your family, check out ready.gov. With this week's Traveling Technology Tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
Well, I've got a list of all the tips that Steve just gave there, including a link to that Ready site that he mentioned. You just find that in the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/156. This part of the podcast, of course, brought to you by Verizon Wireless. They are the official wireless provider for the Road Trekking RV podcast as we travel all around North America. It's the only network I use. The only network. It is reliable. I use their 4G network to send in all my video feeds for our YouTube channel. I also use it to send in the podcast when we're on the road. I am able to work from the road, from anywhere. It's all part of this whole thing called location independence. That's what I have in our RV. I can do my job pretty much anywhere because I am connected, and the connection is always through the Verizon network. It's the most reliable I have found anywhere in North America. Can you say that about your network? If you're stuck on the road, wrong network, why don't you just head over to Verizon and get unstuck?
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, time to check in with our resident Off the Beaten Path reporters. Now, we have a lot of people. We love to get your Off the Beaten Path reports. You can call them in, too. But the ones we hear from the most are our friends, Patty and Tom Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Recently, we saw a copy of a letter posted on the wall of a museum. It was dated November 3rd. The letter said, "The federal government is taking your land for a project of vital national importance. We're going to pay you fair value for it, and you have to be gone by December 15th. 6 weeks to pack up and leave. Hundreds of people got these letters. A fair number of them had also been forcibly displaced to make room for the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and of those, some had been displaced a second time for construction of dams by the Tennessee Valley Authority. As you might imagine, they were not too happy. But what could they do? War was coming, and Uncle Sam needed a safe place to develop a secret weapon.
The place he chose was a remote valley in the Tennessee Mountains with a scattered rural population, far from transportation corridors, air lanes, and casual visitors. The town that grew up here is called Oak Ridge, and it's the home of the atomic bomb. To be fair, work was done elsewhere, too, in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and Hanford, Washington. But this was the beating heart of the infant nuclear age. Contractors, sworn to secrecy, poured in and built a city. 3 years later, 75,000 residents lived and worked here behind a 10-foot-high fence and under the eyes of elevated guard towers. The city offered schools, movie theaters, churches, restaurants, a library, sports facilities, and a symphony orchestra. It even had its own Fuller Brush salesman. The National Museum of Science and Energy, where you can learn about all this, is part of the National Park System.
Because of the war, a majority of the workers here were women. We enjoyed reading a fascinating book, The Girls of Atomic City, that details the efforts in the daily lives of these patriotic scientists and technicians. Women gathered here from around the country, knowing only that they were volunteering to help in the war effort. From the sprouting of the city almost overnight to the challenges of keeping house and living a life of total secrecy, You'll be impressed with the lives they made for themselves and their families.
Outside of the museum, you can see a fully restored flat-top house. These unique modular homes were developed to meet the need for fast, comfortable accommodations when thousands of families suddenly arrived. Featuring two bedrooms, a living room, bath, and kitchen, each house could be erected by a crew of four in an afternoon. Several of these have made their way around the country and can be seen in other locations.
For a variety of reasons, Oak Ridge was also at the heart of the movement to desegregate public schools, and the now vanished town of Scarborough had one of the first segregated high schools to be closed as integration swept the South. The struggle for civil rights played out here in microcosm several years before it gripped the nation as a whole.
When you visit Oak Ridge, don't miss the International Peace Bell, the University of Tennessee Arboretum, and the Southern Appalachia Railroad Museum. Drive the Coal Creek Motor Nature Trail and enjoy one of several excellent campgrounds along the shores of the reservoirs in the area. Look out across the water and you might just see us, Patty and Tom Burkett, somewhere off the beaten path.
Hey guys, thank you so much for that report and also sending in some links. We will put all of the resources, the places that Patty and Tom mentioned in the show notes under the Off the Beaten Path sections. Also a couple of photos that they took. Fascinating place, really is. And what an amazing story. So check out their resources and look at the photos. Just go to the roadtrekking.com/156 show notes page for this episode. Off the Beaten Path, sponsored every week by our friends at Steinbring Motor Coach, Road Trek's newest dealer and a third-generation family business in Minnesota's beautiful Chain of Lakes region, built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing. On our Facebook group this week, it was interesting. There was a discussion underway about how hard it is to find a brand new Class B RV, in particular some of the Road Trek models, that because of the demand, the incredible demand, if you're buying new from a factory and having it built at the factory, you can expect to have to wait up to 5 months, sometimes even longer, because the chassis, there's just not enough chassis being built to meet this incredible demand, especially the Sprinter chassis. And on our Facebook group, somebody had noticed that they had gone to Steinbring and they found on the lot production vehicles available right then. And somebody had just bought, I think it was a brand new CS Adventurous XL. And they went on to say how much they appreciated doing business at Steinbring. Jennifer and I visited these guys this summer and we came away really impressed. This is a family business. It was formed in 1917, 100 years. The Steinbring family has been involved in one way or another in the transportation industry. Their sales staff has decades of experience in the RV industry. They're celebrating 100 years of business. Now, for many years, they sold primarily Class A's, and they sold the top of the line. I mean, they decided they didn't want to have a bunch of different brand new models. They wanted to go with the best, and they chose Newmar Class A motorhomes. Well, they're still a Newmar dealer, and they're gorgeous motorhomes. They're in stock. But about a year ago, they decided that they needed to get into the Class B business, and they wanted to get the best brand of Class Bs as well. And the choice was obvious. It was Road Trek Class Bs. Now, they also have a lot of pre-owned coaches from popular brands like Winnebago and Itasca and Tiffin, Fleetwood. They've got some used Road Treks, some used Tiffins as well. But their Class A's new are Tiffin. Their Class B's on their lot right now are Road Treks. They also have some Class C's and diesel pushers and lots of gas vehicles, toy haulers, diesel pushers. You'll find your next RV at Steinbring's. Check them out. Along with award-winning sales, they also offer award-winning service. Steinbring Motor Coach. Check them out.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendlin. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
So ends another episode of the Road Trekking RV Podcast. Remember now, if you would like to have your voice heard and be a part of the podcast, please record a voicemail message. Click that right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. We invite you also to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn, that new service that is used by Amazon. New episodes released every Wednesday morning. We invite you to join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday morning, absolutely free. And don't forget our YouTube channel, loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. You can search YouTube for the RV Lifestyle channel and you'll find us. Follow us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page. We have a Facebook group. And we do a lot of Facebook Live reports. We're going to have some live ones coming up in the next week. So join us there. Till next time, on behalf of my wife, Jennifer, our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland, road trekking across North America. So long, everybody.